All right, phone calls, ticket text, 248-539-9797. Hendon Hooker cut. Jamar and Westland, we're awaiting your text this morning.
Are you getting grief? I heard the afternoon show. Guy's giving it to you.
At the time, it made sense to draft a quarterback, and I will die on that hill that we're doing a lot of revisionist history today.
Now,
they did not make a decision on Goff yet. He hadn't appeared in a playoff game. He didn't win those two playoff games yet. And once he did it, he won me over. But until they extended him, until he had those moments, it made sense to hedge your bets. And they didn't nuke a first-round pick on the guy or even a second-round pick on the guy. They made four picks in the draft before rolling the dice on a quarterback with some mobility and a quick release. Now, we get it. He can't read defenses. Tennessee didn't require it. He can't do it at the NFL when the speed's faster. And they had to make the decision to release him. And by the way, credit to them for not sitting there and milking this and saying, well, he's our guy. They cut him. They cut him. It's a bad pick. It's easy to say now. At the time, I think people are lying to suggest they shouldn't have made the pick.
Now, I love that Brad Holmes cut him. And he did with Broderick Martin, too. I mean, he admitted, listen, I'm not perfect. I'm not infallible. The one thing about Hendon Hooker that I remember thinking at the time, and I liked it. I was on the air when it was going on. I said, good, you need a backup quarterback. They trust this guy. Let's see what happens. But the one thing I remember thinking is, well, if you're not going to take a backup quarterback, or even a quarterback with a first-round pick, then is it really going to work out in the third round? You know what I mean? So I wonder, wouldn't you have been better off taking a different position in the third round where the success rate would have been better?
But although the third-round pick they took that year in addition to Hendon Hooker was Broderick Martin, which didn't work either.
Exactly.
So some ticket text on this. Is this Holmes' biggest mistake? And that's quite a statement if this is the biggest mistake.
Yeah, it's pretty good tenure so far.
Pretty good resume. And do you hold it against him, this pick? Ticket texters say Hooker equals Darko. Terrible pick. Waste of a good resource.
That's asinine.
You cannot compare
the
two.
That's asinine.
Cannot compare
the
two.
He's not Dwayne Wade.
Number two pick in the draft versus the 68th pick. Come on.
Carmelo. Come on.
After releasing Lynn and Martin, it almost has to guarantee Za'Darius is coming back. Doesn't it, boys?
Feels that way, doesn't it? So it was more than them, though. They released yesterday. Here is... It was Miles Adam, defensive lineman, gone. Broderick Martin, gone.
Those are interior guys.
Defensive and Nate Lynn, gone as well.
Yeah.
So I agree. I mean, I think Za'Darius is just waiting for the time to come back.
Tech says his biggest mistake is not signing Za'Darius yet, knowing that that's a critical need. But does he think it's a critical need? I mean, we've had that conversation with him.
If Marcus Davenport stays healthy, I know it's a huge if.
Yeah, he's played six games over the last two seasons.
Yeah, last year it was a game and a half before he got injured. The year before that was four.
Yeah.
If he stays healthy, are you good? Is everybody good? I actually do think the defensive line with those two defensive ends, Hutch and Davenport, could be effective if the dude stays healthy.
But failure to prepare for the injury is the issue because his history is documented.
I mean, it can't happen again, right?
Sure. Texter says, it was a terrible pick to take Hooker. He was injured. The offense he ran in college was not conducive to the Lions' offense. It is by far the worst pick of Holmes' tenure. Another says, Hooker was a big mistake, but still the correct pick given the situation at the time. It was worth the risk. That's from Sid. Yeah, like, every gamble's not going to pay off. By definition.
I mean, I think a really strong case can be made for Onwuzurike. I mean, was the 50th pick in the draft, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're at a point early in the rebuild. Like, what were you seeing there? I know John was highly critical of that pick in the moment. I think a strong case can be made for Rakestraw. He hasn't seen the field. The position you already drafted.
Doubling down.
I mean, the secondary could be the strongest part of their defense.
I think it is right now.
Yeah, and I think the thing where I have a problem with that more than anything is I really like Rosengarten from the Ravens, the guard slash tackle. He's a starting player for them.
And instead of rolling a rookie this year, you'd have someone who had already been in the system, the pipeline, working with Hank Fraley.
Replenishing that line when you knew Ragnow was probably going to call it quits within a couple years.
Tech says, you just can't sweep Hooker and Martin picks under the rug. Those are top 100 picks. Neither will contribute. They're gone after 3 years. Two wasted picks. Can't sweep it under the rug.
Okay, first of all, it's a tad asinine. It really is. Brad Holmes has built this team. I'm not saying to bow down to him. But my goodness, the 2 to 3 years of drafts that he had that excelled, we just talked about all the guys you want to keep, that should be celebrated. So you can't forget about it. You can't forgive. Give me a break. It's nonsense. By the way, quarterbacks that were taken before Hendon Hooker, CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis. You weren't getting any of those guys anyway.
Yeah, I never liked Levis. I was intrigued by Richardson. That's my cross to bear. And I liked Stroud, but you never had a chance to pick him. He went before the Lions were on the clock.
Exactly. So all in all, you needed a quarterback. They took the highest on their board. It didn't work out. I find it funny that people are really upset about this pick. What is it about this pick? I mean, he screwed up on other third rounders that same draft.
It's the high-profile quarterback position, but I would argue that's why you make the pick, because the payoff is so big. Jalen Hurts is the payoff. You make that pick with the possibility that he's Jalen Hurts, and you also understand that because it's a third-round pick, it might not work out, and you're okay with that gamble. At least I was at the time. And by the way, it's not like they've sat there and been refusing to accept reality. The reality is he's not good enough.
Well, that's the biggest thing. I mean, usually, like Dave Dombrowski, for instance, every move that dude made, and he usually was really good, he never admitted he was wrong. He never got rid of the evidence. You know what I mean? Brad Holmes understood he had two third-round picks that didn't work out in Martin and Hooker, and he said, sorry, we got to go win a Super Bowl. Take care. Adios. I mean, that shows a pretty mature GM in itself.
Get some more of these ticket texts. We have two Grand Slam and Heather's News quickly to Jake in Grand Blanc. Jake, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hey, good morning.
So I totally agree that it was a good pick at the time. We got him because he slipped down because of his injury. He would have been a second or late first round pick. He was killing it. And we picked him up. We took a chance. Hopefully, I don't know about you guys, but I thought the problem was going to be his injury. And that never panned out to be the case. He just didn't have the skills to stay on the team. I don't see the problem with it at all.
I think the issue, too, is the injury hurt him in this way. It speeds up the timeline. You're an older prospect. You get less leash when you're, you know, already, what?
True.
20. How old is he now?
He's like 27. Yeah. But to be fair, it also bought him some time because nothing was expected from him that first year.
Yeah.
So we get a full year to kind of sit there and take it all in. And then the second year even, I mean, they weren't going to cut him after the whole Teddy Bridgewater debacle. So I actually would argue that it bought him some time. He just couldn't make it work.
This was the preseason he had to show it. Like, they put him on notice last year when they brought back Teddy Bridgewater.
And he was so horrendous. Yeah. I mean, I felt bad. It's not too often that you watch professional athletes and you actually feel bad for them, especially a guy like me. I'm so negative. I felt bad watching Hendon Hooker, especially this last game where the Lions get the turnover and he just sails a pick to give it right back to them.
It was futile. Ticket texters, 248-539-9797. Says, Holmes should be hammered due to the level of reach for those third rounders. Signed, Gary. Guys, are we going to brush past the fact they cut Skipper? That's the one that surprised me most. I wasn't surprised. He's been cut a bunch. And as the roster gets deeper, they know he's not going to get claimed. It doesn't mean he couldn't play for the Lions down the road here.
Well, I do believe since he's been in the league for 4 years, he can now choose what team he wants to go through.
Okay.
So he doesn't have to go through waivers, but he's 30. He's not the most athletic guy out there, and it just is a good sign that they have better athletes in their mind.
Yeah.
So I think what they said last year, that everybody's not going to make this team, and we have a deep roster, I think this is proving it by getting rid of Skipper.
Didn't they cut Skipper the year they were on Hard Knocks?
I don't know.
I think they did. Like, they've done this before. Other teams have cut him. He's barely a I know he's like a cult hero, right? And we
course,
all like him, but
the
like,
whole Dallas
from
thing.
A football standpoint, this was not a guy who should be a lock to make the roster, and he still could play for them this season if they have to.
It's like the equivalent of Trey Holloman leaving Michigan State. When he protected the Block S, you never thought he was going to transfer. Dan Skipper, he reported eligible, bro. They made t-shirts. They're not going to cut that guy.
He'll drink for free forever.
It's a Spartan head at center court at Breslin.
Okay, whatever. I like that those Michigan players try to screw that tradition up.
And I think they were ridiculous to do so, but
it worked. Michigan went on a 5-game winning streak.
They won the Big Ten tournament. What do you mean it worked? Yes, that's why they went on a win streak.
Is that
how your brain works?
Well, they were on a 5-game losing skid, don't forget.
And that's what
they
got
couldn't
them
win
winning.
To say, yeah, okay. I think so. Great job by Dusty.
Shadur and Milrow would have been steals for backup quarterbacks. Holmes should have made those picks instead. They've looked good this preseason. Hold on. Shadur has not looked that good this preseason.
Well, he did in the one game that he got injured.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Is he going to get cut? No.
No.
Yeah.
They traded Kenny Pickett, and they're going to carry three. It'll be Flacco, Gabriel, and Shadur.
What a quarterback room.
Yeah, I know. The envy of the league. Not every prospect's going to hit. Hooker made sense at the time. Didn't work out. I'm not mad at Brad. No, at the time, it was a dumbass pick, Josh and Warren says. He had a bum leg. He was pushing 30. It was stupid from day one. People who hated it now then feel vindicated because they were right all along.
How many people called you guys, called Wojo and I as well, and said, Hooker over Goff? Somebody texted in and said...
No, famously, Jamar in Westland is our guy. He's the big hooker guy.
He's the big hooker guy, right?
I don't know how... Yes.
Yeah, he's big on hookers. Okay.
Yeah, that's his thing. I don't know if he's a married man or not. Whatever he wants to...
I don't judge people.
We were just in Vegas. Anyway, we've got...
A lot of hookers there?
So they say... Jeff, I wouldn't know.
You guys were only there for one night.
Yeah.
That's usually like a two-night thing.
You think so? You speaking from experience?
No, I don't have that kind of money.
Okay. We've got Heather with the news coming up next, plus the two Grand Slam. We're going to get to Dan Campbell's comments. He loves this roster. Has the pessimism gone too far? That's at 735. It's 97.1.
Hey, Detroit. It's Heather. Did you know military veterans in our area are holding on to millions in debt? That's why Verizon is partnering with the Detroit Lions to tackle it head on. At Verizon, they know how valuable veterans are. They employ over 8,000 of them, and they don't want to see veterans held back by financial debt. So they're stepping up, committing to eliminate up to $1 million in veteran debt in the greater Detroit area this year. Plus, for every Lions win, an additional $100,000 will be eliminated. And that's not all. Verizon is giving active military and veteran families a special mobile plan discount starting at just $25 per line a month for four lines on unlimited welcome. And they're backing it with a 3-year price lock guarantee. Verizon is freeing some of our best from financial burdens. Stop by a Verizon store to learn more and see how they're honoring our veterans today. Discount for personal lines only for military and veterans. Approved verification documents required. Auto pay and paper-free billing required. In times of congestion, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms apply.
All right, before the two Grand Slam, Heather in the news.
There we go. There was a man who was doing landscaping work in Sterling Heights who died on Monday after touching a power line. Yeah, police say a 41-year-old man of Grosse Pointe Park touched a power line while he was on a mechanical lift doing work near Metro Parkway and Mound Road. He was unconscious after touching the power line when officials arrived. He was still up in that lift. They did perform, you know, life-saving measures, CPR, taken to the hospital in critical condition, but later passed away from his injuries.
That's horrifying.
I know. Two men have been charged in connection to the fatal shooting of Latricia Green. That's the employee at Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit. So the alleged shooter and her ex-husband, Mario Green, is facing premeditated murder charges. And then there's another man who was also charged to apparently helped Green hide and get away. He's facing felony charges as well. Green faces up to life in prison if he is convicted, which... He should be.
Yes, it sure feels like yes. It, yeah.
A 90-pound girl on the Okemos boys wrestling team who says she was critically injured during a practice last year is now suing the school district and her coach. So this teen says that she was paired with a much larger boy during this practice, and she was body slammed 3 times to the point where she was vomiting, having trouble breathing, I'm sure experiencing other symptoms as well. The lawsuit says that at the time, she wasn't provided medical treatment beyond an athletic trainer kind of making sure she looked okay, I guess, because it sounds like she went to the hospital where it was determined, no, she was suffering from really serious injuries, including a liver laceration. She had to be transferred to the hospital's pediatric intensive care unit. And it just sounds like they didn't take the proper precautions at this practice. The people that she normally wrestles with were not there.
Well, see, and that's big. Like, was she wrestling someone of appropriate weight?
So no.
And if the answer is no, well, that's problem one. And then the bigger problem is, injuries are going to happen when you're competing. You have to take care of these kids.
And also, maybe after, you know, it sounds like after the first body slam, the coach just said, hey, take it easy over there. Like, let's, and of course, the boy didn't and did it 2 more times.
Yeah, but what's up with the boy body slamming a girl that I would assume, 100 pounds less than you?
I mean, he probably... I agree, but I'm guessing he thought, okay, well, coach paired me with her. I'm going to do what I do. Yeah, I'm guessing.
It's on the adults.
I think so, too. Lil Nas X was hit with 4 felonies for allegedly attacking cops when they spotted him strolling through Los Angeles naked last week. Did you see any images of this?
I didn't.
All over social media. Police say that the rapper charged at officials when they approached him. He also allegedly punched an officer in the face twice. He had to be taken to the hospital. He was accused of battery on a police officer. He pleaded not guilty and was ordered to attend some drug rehab meetings. His father did release a statement saying that his son was very remorseful and that he's going to get the help he needs. There's been no, I don't know if drugs were involved or if this was just some sort of a mental breakdown. They haven't released that. I'm sure they did toxicology reports right. And stuff at the hospital.
His father is Big Nas X.
Yes. Big Nas X. For sure. So we know sugary, fizzy drinks aren't really great for our health, right? We all know
that.
Yeah,
they taste good though.
They do.
We just choose to drink them anyway.
Sure.
But now we're learning that they're also not great for our hair either. So a new study suggests that sugary sodas, fizzy drinks could raise your risk of hair loss.
That's why,
Jeff,
I lost my hair.
Yeah. Yes.
Is that it? Are you a big like pop drinker? Soda drinker?
I like the diet. Okay. So does that count?
It's probably even worse.
Oh,
I
the
am
aspartame
too.
I drink hair.
Diet soda as well, so I'm the same. But researchers,
but now that my hair is gone, I can drink as much as
so
I want.
Yeah, go sure. for it. Just yeah. keep because it's not, yeah. not bad for you in other
can't
ways.
Can't lose any more hair.
Yeah, researchers found that people who drink a lot of these types of drinks were more likely to have thinning hair or hair loss. And basically they say this like extra sugar, this too much sugar, is linked to poor circulation, inflammation, and that can weaken hair follicles and contribute to hair loss. They found a whole lot of other things too. They say if you want to try to get your hair growing well again, you need to make sure you're taking vitamin D. Do you take vitamin D?
I don't think so.
You get it from the sun.
Outside,
you golf.
I'm outside
you
all
go.
The time.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'm tan. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you think that's going to bring my hair back?
I don't think.
I don't need my hair.
The prescription is golf. Go get some vitamin D.
They say
and
iron
then you get
is
your
good.
Hair
I mean,
do you
I
like
eat
that
your
prescription.
Veggies?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well,
Heather,
I guess
do you not think I look good bald?
Why no, are you I think you look no, much better
no,
bald.
No, why are you trying so hard to make me
great.
Get my hair back? Oh, thank you.
I'm not, but you're the only one.
Tom knows that ship sailed.
Yeah. I mean, Tom and I don't care about our hair. We're married guys. Who do we have to impress?
Oh, you
care.
Hung on about 7 years too long.
I know I did. I look at pictures and they're bad. And I wish somebody would have told me. Get rid of it.
I told you once.
I know. I don't want to
be a hater.
I don't want to believe you. But it's the worst in this studio. These lights just glare through your scalp into your brain.
I think you look thank better bald. I think you look great.
I wasn't looking for a compliment, but thank you.
You do. Let's play the 2 Grand Slam.
Let's
it's
do it.
Weird.
I just wanted to see how that awkward tension would play out. But yes, let's give away some money. $2,000 if you can get all 10 right. You get 60 seconds, $25 for each correct answer. Heather, I explained it well enough?
You did pretty good.
Okay.
I think so.
All right.
I think this is easy.
Don't say that.
Don't jinx our contestants.
This is the thing. He fills in and he doesn't know. We don't say that out loud because then they feel bad if they get like 2 correct.
Oh, no, no. This is so easy. They'll at least get 6.
Just don't lower the bar if a woman calls in.
I like it when Gator does it because I just like that part.
Okay. Our contestant this morning is Dan in Trenton. Dan, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Dan.
What's up, Dan?
You sound fired up.
Oh, yeah, I'm real fired up.
Have you played before?
Yeah, like a year and a half ago.
All right, so you know the rules. If there's one you don't know, say pass, and if there's enough time, we're going to get back to it. But, Dan, your time is going to start as soon as I start reading the first question. Here we go.
All right.
Who leads the Detroit Tigers in home runs this season?
Green.
Who played
Brian
Sonny,
Green.
Who played Sonny Weaver in the 2014 movie Draft Day?
Kevin Costner.
Who does Michigan football play this coming Saturday night?
Pass.
Who does Michigan State football play this coming Friday night?
UCLA.
Who was the number one pick in the 2025 NBA draft?
Pass.
Who is the owner of the New England Patriots?
Oh, I know a white guy with white hair. Pass.
Roseville is located in this Michigan county.
Wayne.
This team currently leads the National League East.
Braves, pass. Braves.
This rapper had the 2012 hit Swimming Pools.
Pass.
Who is the starting quarterback for the Texas Longhorns?
Pass.
Who does Michigan football play this coming Saturday night?
I know that too. Pass.
Who was the number one pick in the...
Dan, you are one of my favorite contestants we've ever had. This was an entertaining round. We are going to put you on hold. You got two correct answers on the two Grand Slam.
Don't look at me.
I'm looking at you, Rieger. He was a colorful individual. We're good. And we're good. And we're going to go through it, all right? So with two correct answers, he got $50.
He started off strong. Yeah. I thought, here he goes.
I really thought we were going to see greatness.
So let's go through it then, Jeff, because his answers were awesome. Who leads the Tigers in home runs this season?
Riley Green.
Riley Green.
Yes.
Sonny Weaver. Who played him?
Kevin Costner. Hey, he got that one.
There we go. Who does Michigan play this coming Saturday night?
I believe he said the F word.
Which is not who they play.
New Mexico.
And you hope you're not saying it at all Saturday night. You're 37-point favorites. It's New Mexico. He was so confident that Michigan State plays UCLA on Friday night.
Like well, the way he said it. It is a Big Ten affair.
Yes.
Western Michigan.
Yes, Western. The number one pick in the 2025 NBA draft was?
The great Cooper Flagg.
The owner of the New England Patriots.
The white guy, he
with
said.
The white hair.
With the white hair.
The white guy with the white hair. Yeah, Robert Kraft.
Then what do we have? It's Roseville is located in this Michigan county. He said Wayne.
Macomb. We I thought that was going to be the tough one.
Yeah. Who currently leads the National League East? It is the Philadelphia Phillies. He said pass, then no, then Braves, then pass. He needed Phillies there. The rapper that had the 2012 hit Swimming Pools is Kendrick Lamar. And the starting quarterback for the Texas Longhorns is Arch Manning.
And by the way, the Two Grand Slam brought to you by Femininio Law.
Yes, your Two Grand Slam on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Your next chance is Thursday at 7:25. Coming up next, I feel like the Lions have become one of the most polarizing teams in all of sports. We had the story yesterday that everybody's betting on them to miss the playoffs. Then Dan Campbell comes out and talks glowingly about this roster, gushing. This is the best roster he's had. So what is it? What do you choose to believe? It's next, 97.1. Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa with Jeff Rieger in today for John Jansen. We got Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass, Luke Sloan on the updates. Late night last night for the Tigers. They lost to the A's 8-3 in some theatrics, a light show of sorts. Tarek Skubal gives up what they thought was a home run to Shane Langeliers. They start playing their lights. Hey, it's a home run. One problem, it's a foul ball, and Skubal would strike him out and then reference, hey, yeah, go ahead and play your lights.
Yeah, Skubal was annoyed.
Only to have Langeliers come up later in the game and hit a grand slam, and then they flash the lights in that tiny little ballpark out in Sacramento.
Well, it wasn't a good look either that the Tigers on social media kind of trolled the A's when Gleyber Torres hit a solo shot. They're like, turn on the lights! And everybody's like, oh my God, that's so funny. Ha, 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 ha. Oh. And then, yeah, Langeliers grand slam. Tigers lose.
And the Royals lost as well. So anybody who's waiting on a collapse to give me a hard time.
Oh, will you
sorry.
Stop.
It's still
nobody's
10. They're fine.
Collapsing.
These jackals on the ticket text.
They gained one in the magic number even by losing.
There you go.
The magic number is like 22.
Perfect. Okay. I don't know what to do with magic number. Until it gets in single digits. Cool. Sounds good. Let's go in the right direction. 8 o'clock. Rieger's going to call out bad parents. What he thinks are bad parents. And you're convinced Heather's going to be with you. I don't think she
Tom is not with me. You're not with me.
But I don't have kids, so my opinion
you're allowed
is...
to comment.
Okay.
I'm not one of those people. I think the majority... Greg will be with me. The majority of people listening will be with me.
I mean, think you're going to be on an island on this show.
I know people love to disagree with me, but on this one, they'll agree with me.
Okay.
Yeah.
You put it pretty strongly. We'll get to it at 8 o'clock. All right, Dan Campbell versus everybody. Let's talk about this. We have audio from Dan Campbell yesterday talking about the roster, and he was gushing. I mean, he loves this team. Back-to-back division titles. One seed last year. Roster better than it's ever been. As deep as they've ever been. High floor. Don't see some kind of collapse happening. Yet, they're the most bet team to miss the playoffs. And there is a degree of, well, what about this, and what about this, and what about... I feel like the Lions have become one of the most polarizing teams in the NFL. People that expect this big step back versus fans that are dug in and entrenched like, no, damn it, we're going to be right in the mix to compete for a championship again. And we want to know what you choose to believe as we count down the days until Green Bay hosts the Lions week one. 248-539-9797. To me, I think the pessimism has gone too far. The schedule's tough. They also have the best rest edge in the NFL, meaning they're going to have the most off days compared to their opponents to account for some of these challenges on the schedule. They lose Ben Johnson. Well, it's a good thing they bring back most of the personnel offensively. They lose Aaron Glenn. It's a good thing Aiden Hutchinson's healthy. I understand a step back. What I don't understand is the pessimism surrounding this football team. I'm glad Dan Campbell said what he said. They do feel like they're another loaded roster competing for a championship.
You know what it's like? It's almost like Republican-Democratic talking points. Whatever side you're on, you adopt the talking points. The negative talking points are crazy. Bitch of a schedule. Mm-hmm. Impossible. You got to go to Kansas City early. You got to go to Baltimore early. You got to start at Green Bay. That's going to be very difficult. People talk about the new coordinators. People talk about the interior offensive line because Frank Ragnow retired. Everybody's talking about the negatives. It's wild because nobody, and Wojo and I did this yesterday, nobody talks about the fact that you still have elite talent. You still have, as you mentioned, the number one offense coming back from last season. But more than anything, the defense is back and healthy. And have you even looked at the defensive depth chart? Like, let's say you're not satisfied with the edge situation. Whatever. Okay, cool. The defensive line should still be okay. And you add Ty Leak and you wait for Aleem to come back. Your linebackers are pretty good. Fair?
Yes.
Your secondary situation's very good. Fair?
Very, very good.
So you lost last year to the Commanders because your defense was decimated by injuries.
In part.
Yeah, I think mostly. You still scored 30 points, even though
turnovers.
You turned over the ball five times. But you still scored 30 points. I'm telling you, even if you had that same offensive game plan and you still screwed up like you did, but you had a healthy defense, I still think you win that game. I guess the point is, the defense is so much better than it will have been last season. I don't get the negativity. I don't. And this is from a guy like me that's usually negative.
Yeah. So which camp are you in? 248-539-9797. What do you choose to believe? This belief that attrition and the loss of coordinators and the trenches and edge and the schedule and miss the playoffs? Step back? Is this team going to fight to win 10 games? Their over-under is set at 10.5. Or you have the belief like, this team's going to still win this division. They're going to win like 12 football games. Like they're going to go out there and beat people up. They're a problem. They're going to have a top five offense and a top 10 defense. And if the offensive line gels, they can win the whole Super Bowl.
Right. More than anything, you just hit the nail on the head, right? Like, it's going to probably start a little shaky.
Yeah.
And people are going to be like, uh-oh, Jared Goff, uh-oh, not protected, pressure, pressure, pressure. But the end of the schedule, kind of easier.
Yeah.
They will have a whole season to kind of get it together. Your words, gel. And I wouldn't want to see the Lions in the postseason. Listen, I don't think they're going to win 15 games. I don't think they're going to win 13 games. But you know what? They're going to make the postseason. You get in. Nobody cares about the one seed anymore. No. Nobody cares about winning the division. Nobody cares about home field throughout. Get in the tournament, see what happens. But so many people are like, no, this is the... Like, some dude on Colin Cowherd, I forget the guy's name.
McIntyre.
Yes. He went on yesterday and said...
So the window's closed.
Window was closed. A lot of people believe that. I don't get the negativity.
I don't either. It's like... You've been given a license to acknowledge the Lions won't win 15 games, and you've just taken it to the extreme. Well, they're going to win 9.
Right.
They're going to win 8. It's going to be a collapse. Where is that coming
from? So Dan Miller had an interesting point. He said, is it fair to say there's like a malaise of Lions fans right now?
Maybe.
Okay. So like you go back a couple years ago, 2022. They finished 8-2. They should have made the playoffs. They got screwed in that Rams-Seahawks game, right?
Yeah.
But you were excited for the next year. You're like, this team's going someplace. Mm-hmm. Next year, NFC title game. And even though you blew it, 17-point lead, second half, you know, Kendall Vildor face mask, you thought, couple tweaks, you're going to win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Or at least go there.
They were on the cover of Sports Illustrated, hanging out in the car, ready
exactly.
to go. Super Bowl pick for many hosts on the station.
And you went 15-2.
Yep.
Now that you lost to the Commanders, it's almost like the momentum has stalled and it's almost like, geez, we've tried everything. We've done everything. We've made it maybe to the highest ceiling. What do we do now? And I think it's a good point because I think the feeling this year is nothing matters except getting to the big game.
Yeah, look, I still want home field. I still want one less playoff game to play. I know people are scarred from it. I just don't know that it's going to happen. I would concede that point. That they're not going to have the one seed given the schedule they play.
Right.
All the tough games are on the road. And I know they were road warriors last season, But they're going to lose some of those games, whether it's at Kansas City, at Philadelphia, at Baltimore. Right. Then throw in,
at Philly.
The next tier is, you know, your Commanders and your Bengals. And if those quarterbacks have a hot day and you can't keep up, they're going to lose some games. I don't know that they'll be the one seed. But to your point, all that matters, the only thing that will define this football team is, once they get in the playoffs, are they able to beat people up? Can they win the Super Bowl? And I still feel like they can win the Super Bowl today.
Like, even if they're 3-3 after six.
Yes.
I think Detroit will freak out collectively. But I'm not certain that you should, considering the tough schedule early on. I mean, hell, at least you're playing these teams like at Baltimore in the good weather, as opposed to the crappy weather. Like, if they were to lose to Cleveland at home, or if they were to lose to Ben Johnson in Chicago at home, if those two things were to happen, then yes, freak the F out. But I don't think those things are going to happen.
Like, I think Baltimore's a matchup nightmare. I think they have
the
back seven to cover the skill players in Detroit, and they can run the rock and keep you off the field, and it's
pressure
at their house.
You? Yeah.
But what does that mean? The season's going to go off the rails? I don't.
So
I
what
don't.
Do you think the biggest thing is for people? Is it the schedule? Is it the coordinators? What talking point is it that really has people afraid?
248-539-9797. I'm looking over there. We got calls. We got people who want to weigh in on this. What do you choose to believe? Dan Campbell says, this is the best roster we've had in our 5 years. We have a high floor, and we don't even know what the ceiling is. Yet they're the team most bet to miss the playoffs. It's 97-1. Jeff Rieger in for John Jansen today. We're talking Lions. I think they've become one of the most polarizing teams in football. They're a very popular fade team, the most bet team to miss the playoffs. At the same time, Dan Campbell's telling you, this is the best the roster's ever been. A roster that won 15 games last year, had the one seed, and had a path paved to the Super Bowl.
Can I ask you a dumb question before we get to the calls?
Yeah.
So for the Lions to miss the postseason, it's like plus 165.
It's not a big payout.
It's not even worth it.
Well, I think that tells you, though, if people are betting it, they're not doing it because they're getting some ginormous payout.
They
they're doing
it
because they believe it. And I said to you, I go, I thought we banished a lot of the doubts.
So you know what it is?
What?
It's going back to old Lions behavior. It really is. And I understand we want to believe we're new and we're the new fans that go to Meijer every Sunday in our Lions gear. And, you know, we weren't watching 10 years ago, but we're watching now. But I'm telling you, we're still very fragile as a fan base. So the second things might go wrong, people go back, they revert to how it used to be, where it's like fetal position every Sunday, we're going to lose, we're never going to go to the Super Bowl.
Well, let's talk about it.
And they're kind of back to that.
Well, let's talk about it. I think there's a few concerns that people reiterate often. One is the schedule.
Yeah.
It is brutal.
It's a bitch.
A lot of big games and a lot of big road games. One thing that's not getting talked about enough is this rest edge. The Lions have the biggest rest edge in the NFL. What the f*** does that mean? It means you're going to have more time to prepare than your opponent on average. You're going to get an extra day here, an extra day there. Comes out to 13 over the course of the season. That's a big deal. That's going to help you navigate what is a gauntlet. When you want to play the physical style of football the Lions play, having an extra day here and an extra day there is going to help neutralize some of what is a tough schedule. What's the other complaint? Ben Johnson. Well, when Ben Johnson left, he said, you guys got the keys. It's turnkey. You've got all pros everywhere. Now, that was before Frank Ragnow retired, but the belief was, I still got the tools to be a top five offense in the NFL with or without Ben Johnson. And then the defensive coordinator leaving, Aaron Glenn. Well, last year he helped the team stay together with all the injuries.
Yes.
You shouldn't have that many injuries on defense this
year.
In fact, the defense should be much better with Aiden Hutchinson playing a full season.
Defense should pick you up. That's the thing. If it takes the offense some time to get her going, the defense should be there for you to pick you up and hopefully steal a couple games that you might not win if they weren't there for you. The one thing I do believe is I do believe in the Ben Johnson thing, simply because if you look over the coordinators that Goff has had, he's never been better than with Ben Johnson. So I do believe he might take a step back. And we all know, too, that if pressure gets in his face, the interior line breaks down, Goff's dead.
That is the biggest concern I have, because it does ruin everything.
Oh, the QBR drops from like 82 to 17 when pressured.
If he gets pressured, specifically up the middle where there's no escape hatch, he's dead.
Yes.
And the offense is dead. And that's the valid fear I have. That's the thing that's keeping me from saying they're winning the Super Bowl. But it's gone way too far now. I feel like we're too pessimistic about this football team, where now we're going, they could miss the playoffs entirely. It doesn't feel like that's grounded in any reality. It's grounded in a lot of the doom and gloom of yesteryear that I thought we had banished.
Oh, please. You don't banish that until you win a Super Bowl.
Clearly not.
2 years ago, they choked away their best chance to go to the Super Bowl. All our hopes and dreams could have been accomplished in 30 minutes, and Reynolds couldn't catch a pass, or the ball goes off Vildor's mask, or Dan Campbell goes for it on fourth down. So people remember this stuff. You can't expect Lions Nation, that has been kicked in the balls so many times over the course of their life, to just be confident when they're facing a little adversity. Now, once they start winning, I think you go back to the confident Lions fans.
But there's going to be some more losing this season.
Yeah, and which is fine.
And people, I think, look, they're going to learn from it. They're going to grow from it. They're going to have a chance to grow in that second half of the season. But how will people handle it? I think we're already getting a taste of how people are going to handle
it. People are really negative, which is way more negative than me. Mm-hmm. By the way, if they were to miss the postseason, that would be one of the top five most shocking Detroit sports things in the last, 20 years? Would you agree?
Yes.
I would be floored. No, Greg, no. I'd be floored if they missed the postseason.
I don't think you should be making lists of Detroit's shocking things when you put Javi Baez starting the All-Star game at number two.
Most shocking thing ever.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I just want to grab Lions fans and be like, you're good enough, you're smart enough. And
gosh darn it, people like
you. People like you, but I don't know if people like you right now. 248-539-9797. Let's get to Steve in Detroit. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Steve.
I just think there's two camps of Lions fans. There's the one camp, you know, that has been long-suffering and like, oh, my God, here we go again. And then there's the other camp that are informed football fans and look at the entirety of the league. Look how long Josh Allen has been good. And he won the MVP last year, and everybody's talking about how good Buffalo is. Look how good San Francisco is. Detroit roster even now can't touch that roster that San Francisco had when they were rolling with Brock Purdy and whoever they put at quarterback. And they still didn't win the Super Bowl. Look at Lamar. Lamar hasn't won the Super Bowl. It's not a guarantee. If you're an informed fan, you're looking at the overall picture of the league and you're saying it's very tough. Everything went right last year up until it didn't. You went 15-2.
And
you
still
had
didn't
home
win.
Field advantage, yep. And you still didn't capitalize on
Steve,
it.
So, Steve, these are two different conversations. Saying, like, I don't know if they're going to win the Super Bowl is not the same thing as they're missing the playoffs.
Yeah, but where was Steve at? Because at first I thought, like, he was kind of bashing fans that thought they would miss.
Yeah.
But then he kind of said, oh, look at last year. Everything went right until it went wrong. It should teach you a lesson.
I think he kind of gave us the full spectrum in one phone call. Let's get to Larry in Kalamazoo.
It was illuminating.
Larry, what's up?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Larry.
So, I'm in the positive camp here. I got a couple of reasons. The first one is, I think at the end of the day, players make plays. And the Lions have one of the most talented rosters in football, right? Yeah, everybody wants to point to the replacing both coordinators. Well, replacing both coordinators doesn't mean you fall off a cliff. The Philadelphia Eagles replaced both coordinators. And yeah, the first time they did it, they lost three more games. They didn't fall off a cliff. They still made the playoffs.
Right. That's why you don't give Patricia one of those jobs.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. If they hadn't hired Patricia, who knows?
And then, you know, they also don't talk about is the Eagles replaced both their coordinators last year and won the Super Bowl.
Also, good note. Yes. You know, and replacing so coordinators isn't inherently a bad thing. It's going to be dependent on, did you replace them well?
Right. And then I think at that point, I really think it comes down to the base question is, do you trust Dan Campbell? Right?
And the answer is yes.
Because if you trust Dan Campbell to hire the right guys and to make the right decisions, then this isn't even a conversation.
Right. And they promoted from within on defense, and Morton had been here previously.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be radically different. They're going to be doing a lot of the same things that made them the number one offense in football. Can they get away without having Ragnow and Zeitler? I think that's the only question I have.
That's the biggest question.
Yeah.
Because if they can't, they're not going to go anywhere. But
well, they'll still make the playoffs, though.
Yes, because they're going to beat a lot of bad teams at home.
And they'll win this division, I would think.
I don't know.
Okay.
If the offensive line doesn't work out, I don't know that they win the division. Now, with that being said, I mean, who will? Are you sold on the Packers? I'm not sold on the Vikings. I'm not sold on the Bears.
Right. 17-3 the last 20 games, Dan Campbell in this division. I think they're winning this division. If the offensive line doesn't, my word was gel, if the offensive line doesn't figure it out, they won't win a Super Bowl. They won't advance far in the postseason. But I think the conversation is not even about the Super Bowl to some of these people. It's like a complete collapse, which I don't understand.
No, that's insane. That's the part that's crazy.
It's like they've added it all up. They go schedule plus coordinators plus offensive line plus Davenport equals disaster.
Right, plus you didn't get an edge. No, you're absolutely right. The funny thing is, I am an SOLologist. I feel I'm an expert at the history of same old Lions.
Don't laugh. He is, people. Certifiable.
I believe in it. I have books on it. My first bestseller's coming out very soon on it. And even SOL would not write you out of the postseason. You get in the postseason, you get popped by 50. That's SOL. You're not missing the postseason.
And again, the people making these bets aren't getting paid 10 to 1.
But that's the crazy thing, too.
They're not even being rewarded. Yeah, because you truly believe they're going to take that big a step back. And it's funny. I'm looking down at
it. It's just the best odds of a good team missing, and it's still plus 165, so it's even money or plus money.
How about this? We'll let the people explain themselves. I'm looking down, and I got positive, I got negative. What do you choose to believe? It's 97-1.